This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. I'm Jared Griffin, taking you through the Midday News Report and the Island Messenger. Right now in Kodiak, it's 61 degrees. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And it says our high is 61, but I don't know. I think we might push on past 61. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful weekend. We'll get more details on the weather. The Island Messenger coming up pretty soon. Let's take a look at the fishing report. Sultry is reopened for sockeye fishing, and I think it'll be open through the end of the year. More than 10,000 sockeye salmon have been counted in the last week due to increased water levels, so there's still sockeye in the river and lots of pinks. Massag Shack is still getting some sockeye too, with more coming in every day. It's likely a coho or two will be seen this early, as it is usually one of the first rivers to get a few fish in August. After the last rain, nearly all local rivers have pinks in them, with most offering bright fish near the intertidal zones. Hotspots are the Olds and Buskin right now. And there have been a few reports of coho showing up in the Fognak streams, but no reports of any caught yet. Most of Fognak streams have lots of pinks in them as well, and coho runs are just a little bit later than last year. Here are the headlines coming up on the Midday Report. The comment period for the winter ferry schedule ends today. Company that bought Raven hopes to resume flying next month, but not in Kodiak for now. Governor Mike Dunleavy appoints Ethan Schutt with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium as a trustee for the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. And these headlines and more are coming up in the Midday Report right after the national news from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says the Postal Service will get the funding it needs. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports the comments come after President Trump threatened to oppose more funding because he doesn't want the Postal Service equipped to handle an expected surge of mail-in ballots.
McCarthy bucked recent comments by President Trump that the Postal Service funding could hurt any potential deal for another wave of pandemic relief aid. He told CNBC the president was focused on voting by mail, but contends the Republicans won't stop any funding efforts for the Postal Service.
Postal Service will have the funding that it needs, and we'll make sure of that.
In stalled negotiations for aid, Democrats wanted to direct $25 billion to the service after receiving a request from its bipartisan Board of Governors, appointees of President Trump. Trump appeared to backtrack on those claims that funding could be a red line to further funding talks. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's signing an executive order today that the November general election will be conducted mostly by mail in his state.
All of us recognize the importance of this year's election, ensuring that every voter has the ability to securely cast their ballot while protecting public health is our paramount concern.
The Democratic governor says the state will follow the model it used in its July primary. Five other states have been voting entirely by mail. A three-judge appeals court panel has ruled California's ban on high-capacity ammunition magazines is unconstitutional, saying it strikes at the core of the Second Amendment, right to armed self-defense. The law prohibits magazines that hold more than 10 bullets. Several other states have similar bans. Former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith has agreed to plead guilty to a false statement charge for altering a document linked to the Russia investigation, a development expected to be welcomed by President Trump. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports the case marks the first criminal charge regarding the 2016 intelligence gathering investigation.
The Justice Department Inspector General found that Kleinsmith had changed a document used to authorize surveillance on former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. Now, Kleinsmith will plead guilty to a single false statement charge in connection with that matter. His lawyer, Justin Schor, says Kleinsmith deeply regrets altering the email and says he didn't intend to mislead the surveillance court or his colleagues, but understands what he did was wrong and accepts responsibility. The case is the first in a year-long investigation by U.S. Attorney John Durham and how the Obama administration gathered intelligence on Russia's interactions with the Trump campaign. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor llama al 907-481-2400.
The Midday Report on KMXT is brought to you in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, where you'll find the Simmons Dual Comfort Mattress, allowing you to customize your sleep experience. Also featuring massage and zero-gravity chairs from the Human Touch Company and sofas and love seats by Stanton. 486-5554.
The comment period for the Winter Ferry schedule ends today. And as it stands now, a number of communities will find themselves without service until next spring. Others will see long gaps in service. The State Department of Transportation blamed the coronavirus pandemic for a big drop in its revenues from the Alaska Marine Highway System, which now has only enough money to provide essential service. Representative Louise Stutz says she's angry that the department gave such short notice. The Kodiak lawmaker said she received the new schedule on Friday, August 7th, late in the afternoon, and believes most communities didn't see the new schedule until Monday.
So that's 5 days for public comment? Give me a break. You know, come on. Obviously, they're not too concerned with public comment.
There will be no teleconferences for communities to weigh in on the changes. The department will only accept written comment. Stute says public input is needed because the plan isn't very well thought out, that it drops communities which are very close to the routes that will continue, communities like Port Lions and Yuzinki, which are on the way to Kodiak from Homer. There's also Seldovia, which is near Homer. She's hoping the department can be convinced to provide some service to those communities.
They won't have weekly service or possibly not even twice a month, but if they get service once a month to those communities, that's better than no service at all.
The mayor of Port Lions, Dorinda Kewen, says she would be happy with even once a month service. But soon her community will lose a lifeline. Port Lions has no store, and its airport runway can only accommodate small airplanes.
We're back in the same boat as we were last year, with no Testamina service starting October 1st, and no real guess at when it'll come back because the maintenance always takes much longer than originally estimated on the Testaminas.
It's been a difficult year for the Testy. Between mechanical problems and crew members with COVID-19, there have been some huge gaps in service, which the community relies upon for basics like shopping and transportation for medical appointments.
It really allows our elders to stay in the community as long as possible. Flying is difficult for elders to get in and out of the plane, and our bad weather means the ferry is their first choice for getting to appointments.
The Testamina's last trip to Kodiak is on September 30th, and it's not scheduled to be back in service until April 15th. The Kennecott will provide limited service to Kodiak, but won't be stopping in Port Lions, even though the community built a new dock to accommodate the Kennecott. The Kodiak Chamber of Commerce passed a resolution this week asking the Alaska Marine Highway System to preserve service to Port Lions and Yuzinki. The company that bought Raven's core assets initially hoped to relaunch operations around this time, but the new owners now say they hope to resume flying in another month, in mid-September. Rob McKinney is the new chief executive of the rebranded company, Raven Alaska, and he says some unforeseen challenges delayed the relaunch of service to the Aleutian Islands, Bristol Bay, and Kenai Peninsula.
So the sale got pushed to this last Friday is kind of what caused the delays, because the FAA are not able to start on a project until the ownership has actually changed. So they've been just wonderful to work with, but unfortunately their hands were tied up until the point where we owned the company.
McKinney used to run a Southern California flight service called Float Shuttle. Float acquired 6 of Raven's Dash 8 planes and 2 of its federal Part 121 airline certificates after the company declared bankruptcy, laid off more than 1,000 workers, and sold off its assets in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. McKinney says the airline intends to eventually provide nonstop services to places like Unalaska and Dutch Harbor, where the community has gone without direct commercial flights to Anchorage since a fatal crash last October. But for now, it intends to continue using its fleet of Dash 8s, which require a fueling stop.
Our main focus right now is obviously just to get their current fleet back in the air. But concurrently, we are working with our Dash 8 partner to find that right platform.
Now that the sale is wrapped up, McKinney says the airline is in the process of rehiring flight crews and coordinating trainings in advance of getting planes back into the air, pending approvals from the Federal Aviation Administration and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
We're just excited that we're finally official and can roll up our sleeves and really dig into every part of the process and get this great airline back in the air.
McKinney says Raven Alaska's goal is to have a workforce of around 400 people by September. As of yesterday afternoon, he says they've hired 41 people, all of them previous employees of Raven Air Group. An investment executive with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium is the newest trustee for the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Governor Mike Dunleavy appointed Ethan Schutt yesterday, or rather Wednesday. Schutt says he's excited to be joining the board of the $67 billion fund.
Permanent fund touches every Alaska household, so it's an awesome responsibility, and it's a little bit intimidating, but I look forward to it.
Schutt says he'll aim to strengthen the fund.
The long-term benefit of Alaskans, so making sure that the permanent fund really is permanent by overseeing the prudent investment of the corpus of the fund.
Schutt was raised in Tok, and he's an attorney who was a law clerk for an Alaska Supreme Court justice. He's also served as general counsel for Tanana Chiefs Conference and an executive for Cook Inlet Region Incorporated. Schutt currently manages the Tribal Health Consortium's investment portfolio as the CEO of Alaska Native Resource Development. Schutt's term is 4 years. State health officials say they're predicting a decline in coronavirus infections in Alaska after a surge of cases last month. In a call with reporters yesterday, state epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin said that forecast is driven by a drop in large outbreaks and fewer new infections in the state's largest city.
Maybe it would be easy to land on saying this was a false positive because we'd all be able to point a finger at a test or something, but the reality is it isn't that simple.
Here is the right quote from state epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin.
So you can see that the case counts are really on the decline or have been on the decline in Anchorage. And so this is a real positive sign that things are improving right now in Anchorage and may well be an indication that the mandates that are in place in Anchorage are working. So that's really encouraging.
The municipality of Anchorage put new capacity restrictions in place at businesses in late July and then cracked down even further earlier this month. It closed indoor dining at restaurants and bars and further limited the size of gatherings. The state reported this week that COVID-19 cases in Alaska are now predicted to decline by half every 38 days. That's a sharp reversal from last week's prediction that cases would double every 3 weeks. But Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink cautions that COVID-19 cases will continue to fluctuate. And she says the future of the virus in the state will depend on how well Alaskans continue to practice social distancing, wear face masks, and follow other preventative measures.
You can see that our fate with COVID is not fixed. Our fate with COVID is directed by what we're all doing as individuals collectively together to minimize the spread of COVID.
The state reported 95 new coronavirus infections yesterday, with 30 of them tied to the municipality of Anchorage. The number of people hospitalized with the virus in Alaska hit a new high at 39. Alaskans unemployed due to COVID-19 would receive $300 more weekly than normal under a plan announced by Governor Mike Dunleavy yesterday. But that amount is $300 less than what they have been receiving. Dunleavy's announcement follows President Donald Trump's executive order to provide up to $400 in additional benefits. Dunleavy authorized the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development to apply with the Federal Emergency Management Agency to pay out the additional benefits. State Division of Employment and Training Services Director Patsy Westcott oversees unemployment insurance for the state. The division has started applying for a FEMA grant for the benefits.
It is not clear at this time to Alaska or to any state, for that matter, as to when FEMA will be making the awards.
The Trump administration has provided enough funding to cover only roughly 5 weeks. The federal administration gave states three options: to not participate in the program, to pay $400, which would require states to cover $100 of the benefits, and to pay $300, which would allow states to draw the full amount from the federal government. Dunleavy chose the $300 option. Westcott says the state is doing what it can.
The administration is committed to pursuing all avenues that are potentially available in order to bring relief to unemployed workers in Alaska who need this partial benefit replacement so that they can put food on the table and make their electric bill.
Westcott encouraged unemployed Alaskans to reach out to the state's job centers for help finding work. The U.S. House, Senate, and the Trump administration haven't reached an agreement on extending pandemic relief. The additional benefit from March to July was $600 per week. Roughly 88,000 Alaskans have received additional unemployment insurance since March. The current number is roughly 55,000. Here is Fish Radio.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Some upswings in salmon and updates on more Alaska fisheries. That's up next.
Did you know that eating wild and sustainable Alaska seafood can boost your immune system? Learn more about Alaska seafood's many proven nutritional benefits at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Good pink salmon catches at Kodiak, Prince William Sound, and Cook Inlet contributed the bulk of the nearly 10 million humpies taken over the last week. That's pushed Alaska's total salmon catch over the 90 million mark. That's about 65% of the 132 million salmon target for 2020. In other fisheries, Southeast's Dungeness crab fishery will close August 15th. After a two-month opener, a few million pounds should come out of that fishery. A second opener for shrimp in Southeast has beam trawlers back out on the water. A lingcod fishery is ongoing in parts of Southeast and Prince William Sound. Also coming up in the Sound is a 15,000-pound test fishery for golden king crab that will start September 1st and run through October. A golden king crab fishery opened on August 1st in the Bering Sea with a 6.6 million pound quota. Crabbers at Kodiak are still pulling up Dungeness, landing more than 1.4 million pounds so far. A fall cod fishery opens in the Gulf on August 25th and reopens September 1st for pot boats in the Bering Sea. Fisheries also are still underway for Alaska pollock, flatfish, scallops, and much more. Alaska halibut catches are over the halfway mark, topping 8 million pounds. For sablefish or black cod, more than 12 million pounds have crossed the docks out of a nearly 32 million pound quota. Finally, tomorrow, August 14th, is the last chance to comment to Fish and Game on the draft payout plans for the 2018 Gulf of Alaska cod crash and the Chignik sockeye salmon run failure. You can also weigh in on Pebble Mine's water quality permit, if and how the Board of Fish should hold its upcoming meetings, and the new Board of Fish nominees. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMSI instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
KMXT's Island Messenger, supported in part by the Kodiak Daily Mirror, your hometown newspaper since 1940. Now online at www.kodiakdailymirror.com.
All right, I don't see any personal messages, and we've got another long new announcement from the Fish and Game, so we're going to jump right into the weather. Well, in Kodiak, it's 61 degrees. Got a nice breeze from the south at 7 miles an hour coming in. A few clouds hanging about, but it's mostly sunny. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a few clouds moving in. Low around 53, west wind 15 to 20 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Kodiak, sunny with a high near 68. Northwest wind around 20 miles per hour. And the extended forecast, it looks like a beautiful, beautiful weekend ahead. Lots of sun. It's going to be great for the Salmon Derby. For sure. In Homer, let's see. If you're heading up to the mainland, it's 57 degrees right now. East wind 3 miles an hour, high near 67. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 50. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Homer, sunny with a high near 72. Wind, north wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour, which means, that's right, red flag warning for forest fires, it looks like. And but I think the news is pretty much the same in Anchorage. They're at 58 degrees with a high near 70 today with calm wind, but those winds are going to be moving in tonight and tomorrow, giving them a red flag warning to watch out for grass fires and forest fires, it looks like. High near 74 tomorrow for Anchorage. Well, today is Friday. Happy Friday, 14th of August. The sun rose at 6:32 a.m. and it will set at 9:56 p.m., giving us 15 hours and 20 minutes of daylight, losing about 4 minutes and 40 seconds of daylight. The sun will rise tomorrow at 6:34 a.m. Our record high was 75 in 1994 and in 1990, and record low was 41 in 1930 and 1975. If you're heading out onto the water, well, there's a weak high-pressure system lingering over the northern Gulf. It's going to hang out all day today. And then a 1,007 millibar low moves offshore to 25 nautical miles west of Kayak Island Friday night and moves to 200 nautical miles south of Cape Clear Saturday afternoon before exiting into the northeast Pacific late Saturday night. For the west of Barren Islands, including Kamishak Bay, today, northwest wind to 15 knots with seas at 3 feet, but there's a small craft advisory tonight and tomorrow. West wind to 15 knots, becoming northwest of 15 knots after midnight. Seas at 3 feet, building to 7 feet after midnight. And tomorrow, northwest wind of 25 knots with seas at 8 feet. For Barren Islands East, small craft advisory. We've got northwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 7 feet. Tonight, northwest wind of 25 knots, seas building to 8 feet. And the small craft advisory on into tomorrow with a north wind of 30 knots and seas at 10 feet. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak today, northeast wind to 15 knots with seas at 6 feet, and a small craft advisory tomorrow with a northwest wind of 25 knots and seas at 8 feet. And everything looks pretty clear. Chiniak Bay today, variable wind of less than 10 knots, becoming northwest of 10 knots in the afternoon with seas at 2 feet. Marmot Bay today, northwest wind of 10 knots with seas at 2 feet. And for the Shelikof Strait today, southwest wind of 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. Looking at the tides, well, we got a Kodiak district. We're coming off a high tide right now. We had a high tide at 12:02 p.m. of 5.31 feet. So we got a low tide this afternoon at 4:32 p.m. of 3.74 feet. And the next high tide late tonight, 10:59 p.m. of 8.06 feet. Over on the west side in Unganic Bay, high tide about right now, 12:18 p.m. of 10.34 feet. Low tide this evening at 5:42 p.m. of 6.07 feet, and a high tide tonight at 11:34 p.m. of 12.31 feet. And here is a brand new announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery, advisory announcement number 24. This announcement was issued 11 a.m. August 14th. There will be a 24-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Friday, August 14th, to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 15th, in the Inner Iakulik, Inner Karlik, Sturgeon, and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District. Closed waters are reduced until 9 p.m. Saturday, August 15th, to Karlik Lagoon's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline, Iakulik River's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline, and Sturgeon Lagoon's exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline. As previously announced, there will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Friday, August 14th, to 9 p.m. Sunday, August 15th, in the following areas. The Inner Ugak Bay, Outer Ugak Bay, Sitka-Leedic, and two-headed sections of the Eastside Kodiak District, north of the latitude of Cape Kiavec, 57 degrees north latitude. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Friday, August 14th, to 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th, in the following areas. The Outer Karlik and Outer Iakulik sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, The Northwest Kodiak District, except the Anton Larson Bay, Sheraton Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Zachar Bay, Spiriton Bay, and Uyak Bay sections will remain closed. The Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosher Bay, Olga Bay, and Dog Salmon Flats sections of the Alitak District, the southeast of Fogneck, Raspberry Strait, southwest of Fogneck, northwest of Fogneck, Paranosa Bay, northeast of Fogneck, and Duck Bay sections of the Fogneck District, the Seven Rivers and Two-Headed sections of the Eastside District, south of the latitude of Cape Kiavec, and the northeast Kodiak District. Closed waters are reduced at Dog Salmon Flats of the Alitak District until 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th, to the ADF&G markers located at the stream terminus of Dog Salmon Creek. Closed waters will be expanded near Horse Marine Lagoon until 9 p.m. Sunday, August 16th, in the Dog Salmon Flat section. The following areas remain open until further notice. The Iseuit Bay section of the Fogneck District, north of a line from Haystack Rock to Pillar Cape, and the Spiriton Bay Special Harvest Area. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak districts, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, Chinook salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine in the commercial salmon fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559.
And let's take a look at the community bulletin board. Well, the Kodiak Kiwanis Kids Pink Salmon Derby is going on right now. August 14th, 15th, and 16th, a three-day event to allow for social distancing on the riverbanks. It's going on 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. Participants can only participate on one of those days. Mouth takes place at the mouth of the Buskin right below the bridge. The event is free, but registration is required. It's for ages 3 to 15, and the winner will be announced at the end of the derby. All cars parking at the park will be required to pay the $5 Alaska State Parks use fee, unless you already have the Alaska State Parks decal. And if you want to help with the event, join the Kiwanis Club. Just let them know. Give them a call, 539-1422. Kodiak Crab Festival is going virtual, and so is the 20th Annual Art Show. The Frame Shop and Kodiak Arts Council invite Kodiak artists to submit new original creative work to be included in the 2020 Crab Fest Art Show. The show will accept and feature work submissions from Kodiak artists completed within the past 3 years. Kodiak youth can participate too. The Crab Fest Art Show will have a special category for young artists ages 17 and younger. The deadline to submit artwork is today, so you better get it in. Guidelines and a link to the submission form can be found at kodiakarts.org. And COVID-19 relief grants are available to small businesses and commercial fishers in the Kodiak region. You want to know what you qualify for quickly and accurately? The Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference has a free one-stop shop to connect you with support, including a hotline to walk you through it. Go to swamcy.org, swamc.org, to get started. And absentee by mail of ballots for the state primary election can be dropped off at the Kodiak Island Borough from before 4 o'clock until Monday, August 17th. So exercise your right to vote. Coming up next, we got Byways followed by Bonjour Chanson, our Friday Spotlight.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Island Byways is supported by Orion's Mountain Sports, specializing in high-quality clothing and equipment for hiking, climbing, and kayaking. Orion's Mountain Sports, located at 1247 Mill Bay Road. Hello, Kodiak, and welcome to the August 14th edition of Island Byways. I'm Pam Foreman. The dog days of summer. Sounds like the weather ahead this weekend will be perfect for all sorts of outdoor activities. Maybe a little breezy for kayaking in some places, but otherwise a nice weekend to get out and enjoy what Kodiak has to offer in the summer. If you've been out on the trails lately, you know that the grass, alders, and willows are healthy, thick, and tall, which means it's very easy for wildlife to be hidden from view. make noise when you're on the trail, be aware of your surroundings, and finally, carry some bear spray or a loud horn with you to convince a bear to turn around if need be. The fishing action is picking up at the Buskin just in time for the kids' Pink Salmon Derby this weekend. Brought to you by the Kiwanis Club of Kodiak, the Derby is open to ages 3 through 15. This year, the event is stretched out over 3 days in order for everyone to socially distance on the banks of the river. Register at the group picnic area at the mouth of the Buskin. The Derby is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. each day. There are prizes for the kids and a grand prize that's a bike from 58 North. Have fun and fish on! Believe it or not, Crabfest is next week. That's right, Crabfest in August this year. There will be food booths and vendors, a reverse parade on Saturday, an art show, and many, many things going on in person and virtually. In fact, they have what they're calling Crabfest TV. You can stream some of the events on the Kodiak Crabfest Facebook page or on their YouTube channel. Find all the details, including a vendor map and schedule of events, on their website, KodiakCrabFest.com. It all starts on Wednesday next week and goes through Sunday. And that's it for Island Byways this week. Have fun and stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.